Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
Gen Nation, what is up? What is happening? We are back again. We are on to the championship round, the week before, or 2 weeks, I guess, before the Super Bowl. Coming off, I mean, in terms of DFS, not as much, but in terms of just overall football, I mean, the divisional round last weekend was epic. I mean, just absolutely one for the ages. Every single game came down to the wire. It was so different than the wild card weekend the week before, where almost every game was a complete blowout. This was where every single game came down. Three of the four came down to a field goal. The last one came down to a overtime game that people are still complaining about. But, you know, that game was absolutely epic. My heart, I did not know if I was going to make it, especially after going off of COVID in that Chiefs-Bills game. When it was 13 seconds left in that game, I absolutely said, this game is absolutely over. It is done. Because, I mean, how often do you see with 13 seconds left a team able to go down, you know, travel the field and kick a field goal, you know, to tie the game up, take it into overtime? So I thought that game was over with. It was not. But, yeah, I mean, here we are, you know. So for the next week, you know, maybe the Cowboys should take a note, you know, on how to finish off a drive at the end of a game.
The biggest Cowboys victory from this week is it sounds like they're keeping their coordinators as long as Kellen Moore doesn't end up in Miami. But, that was just a wild week in the games. I can't tell you how many people reached out to me on Monday and asked if the NFL was rigged because of how good those games were. It was like every single finish we had was just something that you couldn't even draw up, you know? Like Tampa Bay was down 27-3 and you're like, oh God, this is going to happen again, isn't it? And then, you know, I think the Chiefs and Bills might have scored the most points in the last how many minutes of regulation, like ever. I mean, that was pretty absurd what those two teams did back and forth there to in that game. So, you really couldn't script a better weekend.
And just for DFS purposes, though, even with that, like, for the most part, like, I think most people felt okay with where they were at, probably, and the people that faded that game, you know, before the 2 minute warning, probably felt pretty good about it, right?
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden they scored 25 points in the last 2 minutes. Patrick Mahomes throws for 188 passing yards in that 2 minute span as well. I mean, it was just absolutely madness. You know, people complain about the overtime rules, and I would probably be one to agree that I think they need to do something about it. I mean, it affected the Chiefs back in 2018 against the Patriots. But the thing is that the Chiefs, the funny part is the Chiefs actually were the team that tried to implement that rule change. So that changed for the playoffs, and every NFL team said no. They were the only ones, every other team, including the Bills, said no. No, they didn't want to change it, you know. So, you know, I don't really feel bad for the Bills because, you know what, they could have done something about it too, and, you know, they chose not to. I do think it's ridiculous that, you know, your season's being decided on a coin flip, especially in the playoffs, as epic as that game was. But, man, if, like, depending on how what do you do to change it? Because, I mean, those offenses were definitely going to keep scoring. Like, there's nothing that was going to change there. The defenses were gassed completely by that point. And so I don't know what you could actually do at that point, you know, with this, that's going to stop that, you know?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I mean, I personally love the college overtime rules. Each man gets his shot. You line up at the 25 or 30 yard line, whatever it is. And after, what is it? After two ties, you have to go for 2-point conversions. So it's, I like that a lot, but I get the idea of being against that because, you know, defense is part of the game, right? And, you know, putting a defense back at, you know, with only 20 yards and playing red zone defense, that's, you know, that's tough. So, you know, having to drive 80 yards down the field is a lot different. But, you know, the college overtimes, I just feel like they're just so much more exciting because, you know, everybody gets a shot. And, you know, how many times do we see, you know, triple overtime, quadruple overtime? And it's like those are the games that are just like nail biting. And I would like to see the NFL do something. I just don't know. I don't know. I personally like the college. I just don't know how I feel about it in the NFL.
I like the idea of that. I've heard that the only way you can end the game is the game would be over is if you score a touchdown and a 2-point conversion. I like that a little bit more because 2-point conversions are a little bit more difficult to score, obviously, from the two. And, you know, because
then you have a choice too. If you go for the 2-point conversion and don't get it and the other team scores a touchdown, you lose.
Yeah, touchdown with field goal.
Yeah.
Yes. So I don't mind that. At least you're giving both teams the opportunity with the ball. You know, and you're still both teams are able to. So I don't mind that one either. I would feel absolutely because I've seen all like the TikToks and everything of all the Bills fans celebrating. There was one in a bar, and it looks like in Buffalo or something, where like I mean it's just going wild after they scored that last touchdown with 13 seconds left. I mean they're shooting off confetti, everybody's hugging. And all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, my God. Could you imagine being there? And all of a sudden, like,
no,
wait 1 minute. Wait 1 second. You didn't win. Here comes the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. And I've heard people talk about, like, squibbing it and stuff like that. That's what they should have done. There's so many different things that could have happened there. I mean, you know, somebody returns it, and, then, you know, they maybe get it all the way up to the 40. Then they only need one play at that point. Yeah, you would maybe run it off 4 or 5 seconds, but still, you still would have had 7 seconds with 3 timeouts. So, at that point. So, I mean, it's easy to say, oh, well, they should have just squibbed it, but, I mean, there's still so many things that could have happened there. I mean, the chances of a team scoring with 13 seconds left and still getting a field goal, barring, like, a 40-yard bomb that, you know, that results in a defensive pass interference or something like that, it's just really, really unlikely. So it made most sense to probably pin them back and put them at the 20.
No, I agree.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel bad if you're a Bills fan. You know, went to 3 straight Super Bowls, never won, and then now, you know, the Chiefs every year are just ripping your heart out. So
yeah, that's rough.
Anyway, all right. So let's jump into what we came here for. Let's move on to the next week. Let's talk about the championship round. We got the Bengals against the Chiefs, where everybody is picking the Bengals because now that is the in vogue thing to do. Because somehow I guess the Chiefs have become the Patriots, where everybody wants to see them lose. And then you have the 49ers against the Rams. Both these games are actually rematches. Obviously, the Rams and 49ers, this will be their third time playing this game, where you have the Chiefs Bengals. This will be the second time, the last time they played. I believe it was week 15. Whenever they last played, and that was also a just offensive shootout in that game as well that came down to the final couple of seconds of that game. So I guess, you know, for the most part, I think where most people are going to come in, it's going to be kind of the same thing. They're going to be on the Chiefs. This Chiefs line opened at a 50.5. It's all the way up to 40 or 54.5. The Chiefs have the highest implied point total, and it's not even close at 31. There's not even another team that's above 25. And, you know, the Bengals right now are at 23.5. And then you have the 49ers and Rams game where it's 21.25 and 24.75 on that one. So everybody's going to be stacking up this Bengals and Chiefs game. Are you going to just eat the chalk there and go after this game and then just kind of try to get a little bit different in your other spots and you fade Cooper Kupp or some different running backs or something like that?
I'm going to stack up this game from the Bengals side, and I'm not going to play Tyreek is how I'm going to approach it.
So you're going to try to go with some of the lesser pieces, maybe like a Jerick McKinnon, a Byron Pringle, and then just not go with, you know, Kelce and Hill?
I'm going to play Kelce, but I am not going to play Tyreek Hill. I think Tyreek's going to end up being the most popular guy on the slate. And everybody's going to play Mahomes. And I just think the Mahomes-Tyreek pairing and everybody that doesn't play Mahomes is I just think Tyreek's going to end up being the highest owned guy on the slate. And we've seen, you know, all year that Tyreek can, you know, go out there and get you single-digit points. I mean, he's got 5 games of single-digit points this year. And he's, you know, going to be the highest owned wide receiver on the slate. So I think it makes a ton of sense to just pick one of them. I don't think, you know, they're 7.5-point favorites. And like you said, everybody's kind of trying to pick the Bengals this week, because that's the hot thing to do. But Vegas disagrees. It's kind of the same thinking we had last week with the Bills. You know, everybody was on the Bills, but Vegas was on the Chiefs. So, you know, you roll with the Chiefs. It ended up being a shootout, but Vegas likes the Chiefs a lot here. I mean, they're 7.5-point favorites. They are at home. They're playing a lot better. They do play a lot better at home, especially the defense. I just think Cincinnati's going to play from behind the whole game. And we already saw this play out once, and Joe Burrow had scored 37 DraftKings points on the other side. Mahomes only scored 20. So, you know, you've got a good leverage spot in the higher total game that definitely should be higher scoring, and Vegas agrees. So I am just going to end up loading up on Cincinnati and hope that they can keep pace. And, you know, I'll just be unique with my Cincinnati build. So while, you know, people may play a ton of Mixon, they may not play him with Burrow. So that's probably a pairing I'll look to have. We always talk about running backs against Kansas City, and I think that, you know, Mixon is going to have to be involved in the pass game for them to have success, and he can still score touchdowns on the ground as well. So I do like him and obviously Jamar Chase. If you think Burrow is going to have a ceiling game, Jamar Chase is going to go with him. So T. Higgins is probably the odd man out for me, and I think a lot of people are going to play him because he's valuable. $5,700 is not, you know, too expensive. So definitely think he's interesting. Tyler Boyd at 4,200. That is very interesting. We know slots against the Chiefs are a thing, and Boyd had 14 points against them last time out. So definitely one of the better value plays on the slate would be Tyler Boyd. I don't think I'm going to get to Uzoma, however you pronounce it. There's two other tight ends that I like more, and I may end up going double tight end with those guys and just playing like a Burrow, Mixon, Chase, Boyd stack, and hoping I get, you know, the Bengals lose in like a 31-34 type game, and I get all the Bengals production, and Kelce catches two touchdowns on the other side. And I'll probably end up – I don't know which Chiefs running back I'm going to play yet. McKinnon got pretty much all the snaps last week, but CH did look very good in his snaps that he got. So it could be an interesting play to play CEH. I'm not sure that he's going to be as high-owned as McKinnon is. So but yeah, it's hard to just not play the passing game from this game, as opposed to loading up the Rams or the 49ers.
Yeah. Well, you know, with the super chat, appreciate it. Back at it, baby. The 49ers did beat the Packers 4-4 predictions last week. Bengals and Rams this week. I'm pretty sure you picked the Bills. I may be wrong.
I knew you picked the 49ers.
Yeah. But the Bengals aren't going to beat the Chiefs, bro. Okay, I'm sorry. The Cinderella story stops.
This week. Joe Burrow's really, really good. Like he's.
Oh
really
yeah, I know.
Good.
But the other guy on the other side of the field, you know, the Grim Reaper, as we like to call him now. You know,
I know. I'm just saying, don't write him off. They already beat KC once this year. Don't write.
I will
off.
Admit. Let me put this. I will admit if I'm wrong. But like last week with the Bills, like I was actually nervous for that game, and I really felt like there was a real chance that the Chiefs would lose this game. I have zero doubt in my mind. I'm like, we're on to the Super Bowl.
All right.
Let's just get this game out of the way. I think the Chiefs absolutely roast the Bengals here.
I mean, Vegas agrees. It's 7.5 points. That's pretty ridiculous for a.
It's
AFC
all fun and games playing the Titans and everything else, but this is the Chiefs in Arrowhead for the championship to go on to the Super Bowl again.
All I'm going to say is you can count Joe Burrow out. I'm not going to count Joe Burrow out. The dude has done nothing but ball on the national stage in the biggest of spotlights. Done nothing but ball. The dude is a baller. He I'm not ruling him out. Joe Burrow is going to be the next best quarterback of our generation. Dude's legit.
He's gonna be like what's a good example? The way I view this is Patrick Mahomes is Tom Brady of this generation, and then you have like I think you could make a case like Josh Allen's like the Peyton Manning. So I guess that makes Joe Burrow like Philip Rivers. That's okay.
All right. I think we're done with the stream.
I don't mean like the type of player that they're going to be. I'm just saying that this is the Chiefs division. This is the Chiefs conference for as long as they want it to be. And there's nothing that really worries me about the Bengals at all. So call it overconfidence. Call it whatever you want.
I think the Bengals cover. I agree with Josh. I think Bengals cover. I don't think it's a blowout.
It's possible they could, you know. But Patrick Mahomes is just on another planet whenever it comes to the playoffs.
That's fine. Okay. But Joe Burrow is also on another planet whenever it comes to winter.
We've seen one game. We've seen one game of him in the playoffs, and he dropped, 17 against one of the league's worst pass defenses in the league. Okay, let's settle down with the Joe Burrow and how much of the truth he is. Okay, like I said, if Ryan Tannehill wasn't trash, they would be sitting at home right now. Ryan Tannehill lost him that game. It was certainly not Joe Burrow putting the team on his back and carrying him. And getting the W, okay? It was – the defense deserves far more credit than what they give credit for in that game because Ryan Tannehill just continuing turning the ball over, it was embarrassing. They did not want to win that game.
This was stats from 2 weeks ago, so before the playoffs. Joe Burrow has played six games, so it's now eight. It had to have it games where it's do or die. He had four games in college and then two games in the NFL. Those games in college were against Bama, Georgia in the SEC title, Oklahoma in the semis, and then Clemson in the Natty C. This year, week 16, must-win game against the Ravens. Week 17, must-win game against the Chiefs. In those games, he's 6-0, 2,700 pass yards, which comes out to 444 a game. He's thrown 27 touchdowns and zero interceptions in those six games. So talk about my boy Joey B all you want, but when the light shines bright, so does he.
I could care less what he did in college, okay?
I'm just saying when the lights get bright, some people can't play under that pressure. And yes, I know college is college, and it's different than the NFL, but when you're playing on the biggest stage, that still applies. Like, the pressure still applies. It's the same ordeal.
I know, but we're still talking about the greatest quarterback possibly to ever play the game that is still only 26 years old, that is just slays everybody in the pub. You know what's crazy? That Patrick Mahomes has never played a road playoff game ever, and he's never lost. He has never lost a playoff game outside of the Super Bowl.
He looked horrible last year, so there's that.
He looked absolutely terrible last year. He was terrible this year. Everybody figured out the Chiefs. Everybody's figured him out. Anyway, we spent way too long on this. But, yeah, I have zero concerns whatsoever with the Bengals. Like, not even – like, just not even like, maybe none.
All right. We'll check back in on Sunday.
It's going to be a slaughtering.
Okay.
Dead kitty. Anyway.
Don't disrespect my boy Joey B like that.
Joe Burrow's fine. I love Joe Burrow, but not this week, you know. Famous last words. I mean,
yeah, famous last words.
Well, I mean, the Chiefs have.
I'll be playing Jamar Chase and Captain on Showdown in the Super Bowl.
The Chiefs won't be playing this year.
Oh man. Do we even need to talk about the second game? I guess just play the running backs and the tight ends and shit and Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, I mean, call it a day. All right, we're out. Let's wrap
this thing up. I don't think the second game will be a blowout. I think the Rams win, but I think San Francisco gives them all they can handle. And with that being said, I think Elijah Mitchell, who very well could go overlooked for whatever reason, Because I think one of the Chiefs running backs is going to be popular, and I think it's going to be McKinnon. And everybody's going to play Mixon, and people want to play Cam Akers. So I really think Elijah Mitchell is going to go overlooked here, and I think that's a mistake.
Well, I mean, Vegas agrees. I mean, this game's a 3.5-point total. It hasn't moved. What it's opened at is what it stayed at. So nothing's really changed there. I would agree. I think most people go Mixon and McKinnon. I mean, McKinnon didn't really play all that well last week against the against the Bills, and that's a matchup you should be able to run. I mean, it was Clyde Edwards-Helaire that was ripping off big runs. They just really didn't give him that much opportunity. Only had 7 attempts. He did not play nearly as much as what Jerick McKinnon did. He did have 2 targets, but Jerick McKinnon didn't really do a whole lot. I think 10 carries, but only 24 yards. But he did see 5 receptions on 7 targets, 54 yards. Did not find the end zone. But I would definitely agree that I think McKinnon is going to be the more popular one. But I think people have to remember that this was Clyde Edwards-Helaire's first game back, from injury from IR. So they probably weren't going to rush him back. Where in this game, I think they probably utilize him a little bit more, especially knowing that they're going to have a 1 week off, 1 week break before the Super Bowl. And so I would expect Clyde Edwards-Helaire to be even more involved than what he was last week. I think Jerick McKinnon certainly is going to be involved as a pass catcher here, but I don't expect him to get the majority of the touches. I think you see Clyde Edwards-Helaire get more, at least of the on the ground work here in this one. And then
I thought he looked better myself. I thought he looked better than McKinnon.
Yeah, they did a lot of good stuff with him. I think he did look better. I still will never understand. The only thing that I've been able to come up with as to why they don't utilize him as a pass catcher is because he is an absolute liability as a pass blocker. And when you have Patrick Mahomes back there, you know, you obviously are not going to trust him in that regard. Mm-hmm. They have just never trusted him as a pass catcher. I mean, Darrell Williams consistently has been targeted this year as a pass catcher, but they have just never done that with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I don't think he's ever had more than 5 targets in a game, which is crazy because that was his calling card coming out of college, like coming out of LSU. That was his thing, that he was going to be a terrific pass catching back, and a lot of people thought he was going to utilize like Damian Williams. That just hasn't happened with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They've just used him as really a first and second down back. And then it was Damian or it was Darrell Williams, but now it's been Jerick McKinnon getting more opportunity as the pass catcher. I mean, 7 targets for him last week, and I don't think anything changes here. And so that's kind of how I would look at it. If Clyde Edwards-Helaire could find the end zone, I think that's where he separates himself.
I agree.
So as far as the other running backs, I mean, Joe Mixon, for him to make it there, he's going to have to continually be used as a pass catcher, which is what we've seen from them. 6, 8, 5, and 7 targets over the last 4 weeks that they've played. The last time they played, he was targeted 8 times, 7 receptions for 40 yards in that one. Did nothing on the ground. He really hasn't been great at all on the ground, really, over the last 4 weeks. He hasn't had more than 65 yards rushing. He needs to find the end zone to really kill you, in my opinion. Because those are the 2 games that he has. The 2 games that he scored a touchdown in, 31.5 against Baltimore, where he found the end zone, and then 22.5 last week against Tennessee, where he found the end zone. The other 2 games was 11.6 and 15.6. At 6,800, for him to really bury you, that's what he has to do.
Yeah. I think his pass game usage, and I think he's going to have to catch a touchdown and maybe even run for a touchdown as well. His pass game usage is just going to have to be there.
Yeah, and I think something to remember too, especially on a 2-game slate with this, is you can embrace chalk. A lot of times, especially on a bigger slate, you know, if a guy was, you know, on a normal main slate, if a guy was going to be 35-40%, I'm probably going to, and especially in tournaments, I'm going to be looking to fade that player more often than not, depending on, you know, especially if it's a high priced player or something like that. But on a 2-game slate, I mean, you're going to play chalk. I mean, you're not going to get away from it. So I think trying to find the best plays, and then trying to, you know, avoid some chalk here, I think is the way to do this. So
I agree. I mean, you're only going to get guys, but so low owned, right? Like, lowest owned decent players you're going to see is going to be like 15-20%. I mean, guys like Ayuk is going to be down there. Tyler Boyd's going to be down there. Van Jefferson will be down there. These are not guys you're going to go just all in on, right? You're going to be sprinkling these guys in across, you know, different teams that you make.
Yeah. Hey, Debo in the chat, or Debo, D-Bro in the chat. Maddie looked like he's combine fit. Hey, nah. D-Bro, if you guys didn't know, is the newest member of the Chiefs Nation. Okay, Chiefs Kingdom. You know, he bought himself some Chiefs swag. Love to see it. Love. I mean, hey, when you're a Saints fan, it's probably what you're going to do. So, you know, Walido, if you want to come over to the Chiefs side, be a part of Chiefs Kingdom, there's still enough room on the bandwagon. But D-Bro has jumped off the Saints bandwagon. He is now a Chiefs fan. So I have the receipts to prove it. So if he tries to say otherwise. But anyways, but I the other one, I definitely agree on the Elijah Mitchell call. I know it's true. I know. 13 seconds describes Boone Nights for me.
I saw – that's funny you say that, because I saw a meme today that it said it's one of those where the guy is, like, laying in bed and the girl's looking over at him, like, I wonder what he's thinking about. And he's like, I just lasted 12 seconds. I beat Patrick Mahomes. Should I spray champagne on her? Oh, I died seeing that. I'll have to send that to you guys in the chat. You can share that with your Kansas City friends.
That's fantastic. Old Brittany Mahomes out here just causing problems once again.
That is one thing I want to see the Bengals win, so I don't have to see a 2 weeks worth of Jackson Mahomes TikToks.
I mean, he's not going to go away. No,
he's not, but if he loses, then he will.
Well, listen, we've already discussed that. You don't have to worry about it. Oh, man. Anyways, so, I mean, I think that's really all I have for the running backs. I don't think there's really anything else to talk about, in my opinion, that really stands out to me. I mean, Cam Akers is getting all the usage. But he's just not doing anything with it. Now, granted, not great matchup, especially the last week against Tampa Bay. I mean, that's one of the worst run matchups you can get. But 24 carries for him. He has completely taken over the backfield. It is 100% his. Where Sony Michel, had, what, one attempt? Yeah, one attempt, two targets. Now, do you think with him, though, that with this, especially with the two fumbles that he had, that he literally almost cost him the game, that maybe they will go a little bit back to Sony Michel here?
I mean, it's definitely possible. But they did say coming into the playoffs, too, that, you know, they were going to get ramp Cam Akers up and give him, you know, the lead role and make him have a significant workload. And they did not lie about that. I mean, he's getting all the snaps at this point. So, like, what did you say, 80%? I don't think they're going to go away from that. I mean, he's still in what is only second, third game back from, you know.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Ripping his Achilles just 6 months ago. So I think they're going to give him a little leeway. And I think he's their guy. If he wasn't their guy, Sonny Michel would have been carrying the workload come those last two games in the playoffs, right? He would have been their lead dog those games. And he kind of wasn't in the first week, but that's just because that Cam Akers still trying to get his conditioning up and get his legs underneath him. But if they had, you know, any concern about Cam or didn't think that Cam was head and shoulders gives him a bigger advantage than Michelle does, then Akers would have been, you know, in the 30 to 40% snap range, not 80%. So I think that, you know, they're thrilled to have a win. They were winning 27-3 with Akers out there. So like, why switch it up? Right. I mean, Akers doesn't play defense. So I know he fumbled, but at the same time, he shouldn't have even been put in that position.
Yeah. I mean, not to mention that this is a terrible matchup, another terrible matchup. One of the best run defenses in the league. I mean, the Bucs have shown some cracks. I think they're like 12th in rush DVOA. The 49ers, I believe, are second in rush DVOA on the year. So just an absolute terrible matchup for any running back. It doesn't really matter. To me, Cam Akers is really either he's going to, you know, find the end zone a couple of times on a couple short goal line runs, or he's going to be heavily utilized as a pass catcher, and we haven't seen a lot of that either. He was targeted three times last week, two times a week before that in the playoffs, but in terms of like a heavy role as pass catcher, we haven't seen that. So that's really the only way that he's going to get there as well.
Yeah, and the Rams didn't really run the ball in week 10. I mean, Henderson had five carries for like 30 yards, and Michelle had four carries for 20 yards. So they only ran it nine times in week 10 against San Francisco. They lost 31-10. So that's probably why. But I mean, then you look at week 18 in a back and forth affair where the Rams lost by three. Michelle carried 21 times for only 43 yards. So that's just, you know, a testament to how good that San Francisco run D is. And the Rams run offense is very schematic offense. So, you know, they tend to be more matchup prone than any other just pure downhill rushing offense. So I think it's not a great outlook for Akers here.
I would agree. So let's go over and talk about some of the wide receivers here and who are you prioritizing this week with where these guys come in. I mean, Cooper Kupp obviously is 8,800. He's the most expensive. Next closest is Debo at 7,200. And then, you know, from there you have Tyreek at 7K, who's, you know, bounced back up from the 6,600 he was last week. Jamar Chase, 6,700. T. Higgins is 5,700. Odell is 5,100. And Brandon Ayuk is 5K. But who are you prioritizing here?
Do you think Debo goes overlooked because of where he's priced?
Oh, absolutely. He's almost overlooked almost every week because of where he's been priced, because he's usually right up here with the top guys, and people just would rather play Cooper Kupp, or you could pay at the same price to get Tyreek or Jamar Chase in the game that I think everybody wants to target. So, yes, I 100% think Debo Samuel is going to be overlooked.
In two games versus the Rams this year, he's got 29 and 30 DK points. And he's their guy, right? Like, he's going to touch the ball 15 to 20 times, whether it's through the pass game or on the ground. So, I mean, he's got – it seems like every third and long – like, they did this against Dallas, too, and then they did it last week against Green Bay. Whenever they're – it's like third and seven with the game in hand, or they need to score first down – to put the game in hand, they just hand it off to Debo and he somehow gets 8 yards. It's crazy. I don't understand how defenses don't stop him. He's just a beast. Like, he's a beast.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I have routinely bet against him all year this year, not played him throughout the entire year. And he continues to just produce all year. The way they've utilized him, I mean, he continues to see a ton of touches as a runner as well. 10 carries last week, 10 carries against Dallas. He had eight the week 18 against the Rams. The last time they played before that, he had five. So, I mean, really, you have to go. I mean, but they didn't. It's weird because they didn't utilize him like that earlier in the year. Not all the way until week 10 is when
Mitchell got hurt.
Yeah, they started utilizing him like that. And ever since then, I mean, he's seen at least 5 to 6 carries, if all up to 10, every single game.
He's been so good that they can't stop running him because he's been that good.
Well, the only thing you hope is, I mean, it doesn't matter for this year, but at least moving forward, if they're going to continue to do this with him, that he's able to stay healthy, because that health has always been his problem. It's never been a question of talent. It's always been what can, you know, can he stay healthy? And so, you kind of saw him last week coming in and out of that game, kept looking like he was going to be banged up, but was able to come back in. So, So I don't mind him at 7,200. And like I said, I don't think people are going to play him.
Yeah, I think everybody goes to Cup and Tyreek first, and Debo's overlooked, man. So I really like him for that reason. He can definitely score 30-plus points in this spot. He's done it twice already this year, so. But outside of him, if you're not playing Debo, I think Ayuk makes a ton of sense. The San Francisco 49ers are just going to go overlooked for the most part outside of probably Kittle, because Kittle's 5K, and I'm going to play Kittle again. I know we haven't got a tight end yet, but Kittle had 7 catches for 100-and-something yards and a score last year against the Rams, so I'm not too worried about the schematic matchups there and Jalen Ramsey and all that. I think Kittle can smash, and he can do it any week, and he's just got to be involved. They played from in front last week, or played, you know, neck and neck against Green Bay, and we thought they were going to play from behind. This is, you know, could be a game where they play from behind against the Rams, but they very well could play from in front. And if you get you're just hoping for a game where San Francisco plays from behind to play, you know, Kittle and Ayuk. So I think both those guys are interesting, and I will definitely be playing one or two of these San Francisco guys, because their offense is so concentrated.
Well, I would say that all these teams' offenses are pretty concentrated now.
Except for the Chiefs. I don't think the Chiefs is as concentrated as we like to think it is.
It's not as...
McKinnon can score. CEH can score. Pringle can score. Mark Robinson can score. Random defensive linemen can score. Tyreek can score. Kelsey can score. That's 7 guys there. I mean, the backup tight ends can score. The Chiefs just do weird schematic things, especially when they get down near the goal line. They like to use their high-value guys like Tyreek and Kelsey. They put them in motion and get the defense to trail them, and then do little underhand flips to no-name guys coming back across the formation the other way. So they do a lot of deceptive things using their star players as, you know, as deception pieces. So I personally am just going to probably end up with not as much Chiefs exposure this weekend. And yes, it's looking at the slate in a macro perspective is probably dumb, because they have the highest implied total by a lot. But, you know, on a micro level, I mean, they could score 5 touchdowns, and all 5 go to 5 different people. Whereas if San Francisco scores like 4 or 5 touchdowns, I think, you know, one of those guys is going to score twice. And, you know, same can be said for Cincinnati. Like, if they were to score 4 or 5 touchdowns, either Mixon or Chase is probably going to score twice. So I just think the Chiefs are a little less concentrated, and people are – the ownership doesn't really justify, you know, just jamming all those guys in from the Chiefs side. But that's just how I'm going to approach it, and it's a 2-game slate, so you have to embrace variance somewhere, and that's how I'm going to do it.
I don't understand why Byron Pringle's ownership – or not ownership, but price has not went up at all. He continues. I mean, another 7 targets again last week, another touchdown. Yep. He has become one of Mahomes' favorite red zone targets. We've seen, in, you know, every single week he's getting consistent targets inside the red zone. Outside of week 17 against Cincinnati, I mean, he's had at least 7 targets in every single game since, you know, going back to the Pittsburgh game. And so, I mean, he is consistently involved, you know, but at $4,300, I mean, it's hard not to get to him. Hardman's hard to trust, because Hardman is just more of a, can he get an explosive play?
Because he got one target and 2 carries last week.
Yeah, and found the end zone off one of it, and, you know, ripped off a 20-plus yard gain each time that he touched the ball. Really almost could have had a second touchdown. Came pretty close to that, but that's really what you're looking at with some of these guys. So if you're going to be playing, you know, if you're putting in 20 lineups, you know, I don't mind having a little bit of exposure, obviously, to a Mecole Hardman or even in a Marcus Robinson. You know, you don't have to worry about Josh Gordon. He's no longer a thing. They released him, and then he was able to he made it to their practice squad. So I guess they could call him up if they wanted to, but he is currently on their practice squad. So he is no longer an option. So really, it's kind of concentrated, at least in terms of the pass catchers, you know, DeMarcus Robinson, Hardman, you know, and Byron Pringle, then obviously Tyreek and Kelsey. But with Robinson, I mean, he wasn't involved at all last week, only saw 1 target. But, you know, if you go back to the weeks prior, he had 5 targets and 6 targets in those games. Against Pittsburgh, he did have 4 for 76. Some of that, though, is, I think, because it was a blowout, and some of that was a little bit later. But, you know, like you said, I mean, this team can get a little bit weird, and you never know. I mean, DeMarcus Robinson could easily catch a touchdown to really just kill you, because nobody's going to play DeMarcus Robinson whatsoever, and he's $3,800. And then in terms of – I'm going to continue to play Odell Beckham. I have played him consistently every single week. He has not had that blow-up game, but he looks so damn good every single game. Same thing against Tampa Bay last week. He was rolling. I'm like, okay, here we go. Here we go. This is going to be Odell's smash game. And he did six receptions for 69 yards. Nice. On 8 targets for 12.9. But we have not yet seen the smash game for Odell. And I think, again, I'm going to continue to chase it at $5,100. It's just hard to get away from him and his price tag at $5,100. Van Jefferson, sadly, has become kind of an afterthought a little bit. 3 targets last week against Tampa Bay, 1, 3, 5, 6. He's not seeing the heavy targets he was seeing earlier in the year. So it makes him pretty hard to trust.
Yeah. It's like Van – I don't know why Van fell off a cliff, but he did ever since OBJ came over. I mean, you would think he would just continue to be involved as the third guy, but they were rotating in Schoenreck or whatever the guy's name is for a couple of those weeks.
Yeah. Well, and I do want to mention, too, by the way, as far as the Chiefs defense is concerned, one thing that really hurt them last week was losing the Honey Badger really early in that game, not knocked out with a concussion, took himself out of the game. He is back, and I believe that he is going to be clearing the concussion protocol. He was actually at practice today. He's on the final phase of the concussion protocol. So that is huge, because his direct replacement is Dirty Dan Sorensen, and people that have been following long enough know that Dan Sorensen is a fucking just trash can, just a human trash can is what he is as a, like, it is the most frustrating thing all year of watching when, especially earlier in the year, when they continue to let him, play in coverage. He is terrible. He is old. He should not be playing at all anymore. So, at least of what they're asking him to do, they have far more better options. Amani Watts is a guy that they could be putting back there. I digress. So it does sound like Tyrann Mathieu will be back for this game, and he's just been terrible. I love but the thing about this dude is, like, he's like the most clutch player ever. Like, anytime a big play needs to happen, he somehow seems to be in the right place at the right time to make it. In terms of coverage this year, he's been awful. So it is good to see that Honey Badger will be back for this one. We don't have to worry about that. So they will be completely healthy on the defensive side of the ball. Even Rashad Fenton, which was also a name that they haven't had for the last almost month of the season, he's expected to be back as well. So those are two big pickups coming back. So I did want to mention that for anybody that was wondering. Other than that, I definitely agree. Brandon Ayuk is definitely in play at the 5K. The last time these two teams played, he had over 100 yards, 7 targets, 6 catches, 107. Didn't score in that one, but still had 19.7 DK points. So I do like that. If you're just going to rank them, I guess, from a just top 5, I guess, for people, you know, how would you prioritize them? Or maybe even top 3?
Which, the wide receivers?
Yes.
I mean, it's hard not to like Kupp as number 1. I personally, I would have Tyreek 4th, and you can have pretty much any of those, Kupp, Samuel, Chase as 1 through 3. That's probably the order I would have them, Kupp, Samuel, Chase.
So I think, honestly, I think that this is going to be a game. Like, if I think it's actually – I prefer T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. If you look at what the Chiefs did last week with Stephon Diggs, they were like, Stephon Diggs, you are not beating us. And so they took it. Stephon Diggs only had 7 receiving yards last week, 3 catches, 7 yards. I think you see the Chiefs do the exact same thing to him, to Jamar Chase. I think he gets that treatment. They are not going to allow, especially with what Jamar Chase did to them the last time they played, they are not going to allow Jamar Chase to beat them. Whether it's they double, whether they triple cover him, whether they bracket him, he is not going to have that game. And I think everybody's going to be chasing that game. And so I actually have the least amount of interest in Ja'Marr Chase because of that. I think this is going to be a game where T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd have to step up, and they're going to be the two guys. And so I'm going to be fading Ja'Marr Chase, or at least being under the field to what everybody else is going to be on Ja'Marr Chase, because I think the Chiefs are going to take him out and they're going to take him away. And this is going to be Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins. So with that being said, I would prioritize, obviously, Kupp is, but then Tyreek, and then T. Higgins, and then Ayuk for me would be how I would view it, with Odell being fifth.
You're going to be real tilted if Kansas City's up 21 and they start playing prevent defense, and Ja'Marr Chase just racks up 14, 12-yard slant catches. You're going to be real mad.
We'll see. But whenever you have a two-game slate, I think you have to tell yourself a story and how you think these games are going to go. And this is the story that I am telling. And that I think the Chiefs are going to take away Ja'Marr Chase, and they are going it's going to have to be T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd.
That's fair.
And so that is, we'll see. We will see how this plays out for me. Bold strategy, Cotton.
I'm pretty much fading the Chiefs outside of like Kelce and one of the running backs. Like, I'm not going to play Tyreek. Probably won't play any of the cheap wide receivers. I mean, you look at the same game that they played against Cincinnati back in, what was it, week 17. They scored 34 points as a team. The running back, Williams, was the starter of that game. He scored 26 points, so it was the running back game. Mahomes had 20. And then all the receivers and tight ends had like 13 or less. So they scored 34 points, and all the pass catchers did absolutely nothing. They had two rushing touchdowns, and Williams pretty much got, you know, he got 25 points. But I mean, you played Mahomes, he did okay. He scored 20. That's not great. I'd rather play just play Jimmy G at his free price and get all the dudes than play Mahomes and get 20 points, you know? So that's the stand I'm going to take. It's the boldest stand you can take on this two-game slate is to – you know, kind of fade the Chiefs, but not really fade them. Like, just play one or two guys from them. I think a lot of people are just going to load them up. So I'm fading Tyreek. I'm fading the Chiefs as a whole, outside of one or two guys. And that's going to be Kelce, and it's going to be CEH for me.
All right. Well, let's jump over and talk about the tight ends really quickly. I don't think there needs to be a long discussion here. Obviously, Travis Kelce at 6,500 is going to be the absolute chalk, right? Yep. So, for what he can bring to the table, George Kittle at 5K. I do like getting some of him, like you mentioned. I played a lot of him last week, just didn't really work out. Game conditions weren't great. It really has been really boom or bust for George Kittle this year. We have to go all the way back to week 14 and 13, where he put up 37 and 42. But previous to that, I mean, he has not seen a double-digit game since then. I guess he did last week, 460. But regardless of that, that's kind of what he's been this year. But if this is a game that they're going to trail, and that's kind of what you think is going to happen, then, yes, George Kittle should definitely be in play. It should also be mentioned, I think they said Jimmy Garoppolo's shoulder is not being listed on the health report or the injury report. It's the first time we've seen that in a while. So that is a positive, hopefully, for the pass catchers here. But, yeah, I think George Kittle at 5K, he definitely makes a lot of sense, especially going to tight ends. That's not, generally speaking, something we see enough of. And then Tyler Higbee, if you want to get there, I guess you can. But, man, really fading, you know, one of the other two, unless you're playing them, you know, again, in the flex. I guess you could do that. He did see another 7 targets last week against Tampa Bay. And then CJ Uzoma is another guy who just continues to see a lot of targets. 8 targets last week against Tennessee. 6-6. The last time these two teams played, he went 4 for 32, 7.2 in that game. Didn't find the end zone, but I mean, if he could find the end zone, which is definitely possible because the Chiefs have struggled against tight ends this year, you know, CJ Uzoma does make a little bit of sense again as another double tight end option if you want to do that at extremely low ownership because nobody's going to play him.
Yep, I'm good with that.
As far as defenses are concerned, for me, it's the Chiefs 3K. We just saw Joe Burrow just get absolutely annihilated for 9 sacks. Spags is going to dial up the blitz 100% on that. And so, you know, we see this. I think they could definitely get to them if they can cause a couple turnovers. I think that they're in play. So 3K, I don't mind doing that. And if you really want to, I don't really don't mind playing the 49ers either at 2,800. We've seen Matthew Stafford this year make some really questionable decisions at times, and with some of his throws. And so, you know, asking for them. And this, I mean, this really could actually be a home game for the 49ers if this is anything like we saw in Week 18. They're people there in San Francisco or in LA were freaking out, really trying to monitor who's buying tickets because they did not want it to be another, road game for the home team.
Yeah.
But that's where I sit on defense.
And then, of course, you have the, in the spirit of nobody's going to play these fucking guys, the Cincinnati Bengals are going to be 5% owned. So if you want to get really, really weird and just pray for somehow a defensive touchdown or a special teams touchdown, then be my guess.
Yep. I mean, you can do all kinds of stuff, you know. I mean, we could play Chad Henne too and think that maybe if what happens, something happens, you know, or you could play Trey Lance. Maybe Jimmy G.
They gave up 34 points to the Chiefs and still only scored minus one in week 17. So anything is possible.
All right. Well, let's wrap this thing up on, obviously, we have to get in the good old the build. Once again, just a reminder, we obviously will be back again for the Super Bowl. We will be doing a showdown slate breakdown on that one. I did talk to, I think, Cody and some of the Prop Talk guys that do our Prop Talk show. They're going to come on with us. I think we're just kind of have some fun with it, talk to showdown, talk about some That'll of the props. Fun. Because there's a lot of crazy props, especially for the Super Bowl. You know, coin toss, how long is the anthem? I know all of the
Gatorade color.
Yeah, Gatorade color. Yep, is another one. So that'll be a lot of fun. So we have one more show left. We'll be doing that the week of the Super Bowl. So looking forward to that. But anyways, so let's go ahead. Let's lock this one in. Where are we starting with this one? And actually, I'm going to start. And we're going to play Tyreek. No, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You is Tyreek your pick?
No, actually, it'd be T. Higgins.
T. Higgins? All right, then Burrow. I'm going to make – if you're not going to make me play Tyreek, I'm going to make you play Joe Burrow.
All right.
And then you're going to pick Tyreek.
Nope. I'm going to lock in Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
All right, go Kelsey too.
Let's lock in Debo Samuel.
Tyler Boyd.
I wanted to play Odell, but I don't think.
It's possible. It's possible.
Oh, I guess you could. I guess I wouldn't factor in the defense.
We easily could. You have to play the Bengals, pretty much.
No, if you lock in, let's say the 49ers D, it still leaves $6,600. So you can play anybody but not named Joe Mixon.
I had Mixon in there. That's why.
Oh. Then just play Elijah Mitchell.
Then just play Mitchell, yeah. That works. Works for me.
All right, so that's the lineup. So we got Joe Burrow. Gross. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Elijah Mitchell, T. Higgins, Debo Samuel, Tyler Boyd, Travis Kelce, Odell at the flex, and 49er D, which you can still leave $700 remaining. You really could do a little bit different if you wanted to drop off Odell, go to somebody else. You could pay up all the way to Tyler or Joe Mixon. All different things you could do with this lineup. You're pretty much free to pretty much play whoever it is you feel like playing in this one with, you know, the running backs not really being anybody that's just, I think, is absolutely pressing. Obviously, if you get up to Mahomes, that's going to change a little bit, you know, some of the stuff. But I think overall, I think you can pretty much do whatever the hell you want to on this slate. So I would just advocate trying to get a little bit different. If you can find some ownership somewhere. You know, there's some good sites with ownership that you can get. And I think just kind of trying to get a little bit different here and there, I think, is the way to go here on this one. But regardless of that, I really appreciate everybody rocking with us all year, especially in the chat. I really do appreciate it. You know, Walido, Josh, you know, RC, even D-Bro coming through. It has been weird not having D-Bro on the show at all, but not even once this year. I'm gonna try to talk. Never mind. I'm not even going to. I was going to say something, but I'm not. I'm not going to say anything. Hopefully we can get D-Bro on sometime over the offseason to talk about some rookies or some redraft stuff or whatever. It's been a shame not having him on. He's been ducking me all year. He didn't want this smoke. He's too afraid. I get it. But that being said, Maddie, I appreciate you being on. I appreciate you being here. It's been also weird not having Ryan with us here only a couple times this year. But I digress. He's doing things over at the other guys, the other provider. You know, I don't know if people play over there. I guess people do. But, you know, I appreciate everybody checking it out. We'll catch you on the next one. We'll be back here in a couple of weeks. Let's win some money this weekend. Chiefs by 100. We'll check you on the next one. We out!
Think you can tell me what to do? You know who you're talking to? Well, you better get used to the way the ball bounces. I see what you got, inventions and ounces. But that's a great boy. Yeah, that's a great little man. Break it down. You're a big man. I'll treat you like you're a little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. But that's a brace, boy. Yeah, that's a brace, little man. Break it down. You can tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to. Just not wanting me to be someone else. Be like a book on a shelf that you can be, boy. Yeah, that you can be, little man.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.